Welcome to the Voice of Hope with Pastor Andy Clark. I trust you had a good week walking with the Lord. This is the first Sunday of the new year. I trust you had a good New Year's celebration. Maybe you had some food together with family and friends. Maybe you went to church for New Year's. But this is the first Sunday of the new year. Last Sunday, I talked about coming into our new year and what God wants to do in the new year. And as we've been coming into the new year, I've been praying about what God wants to do in 2025. And one of the things I believe that God spoke to me is that 2025 is going to be a year of God's grace and favor. When you look up the number five in the Hebrew language, the number five, the Hebrew language is the language that the Old Testament was written in. And when you look up the Hebrew language, the number five stands for grace and favor. So we're in 2025, so five is a year of grace and favor. And last week I talked a little bit about grace and favor from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 through 10. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. And Paul says there, "For by grace you've been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." So we have been saved by grace. Grace and favor are something God gives us that we don't deserve. And we've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. We're all should be judged and sent to hell. But God, by his grace and favor, sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins so that we could be free from sin, because sin separates us from God and sin separates us from eternal life with God. And so we could not save ourselves because we are all sinners. So Jesus came, God extended grace and favor to us by sending Jesus Christ to take our sins, to die for our sins. So when we accept Jesus as our Savior, we are saying, "Jesus, thank you for dying for my sin. I accept you as my Savior. And because of Jesus' death, our sin is taken away and we can enter into a relationship with God. We can enter into God's grace and favor." So we are saved because of God's grace and favor. It says, "For by grace you've been saved through faith. It's not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, as anyone should boast." So nothing you can do to save yourself. God saved you. God called you. God washed your sins away with the blood of Jesus Christ. God made you a new person in Christ Jesus. You are now a child of God. You didn't do anything to become a child of God. You accepted Christ as your Savior. Your sins were washed away so you could become a child of God. And so the first thing we see about grace is that it produces salvation for us. It sets us free from the power of Satan, sets us free from sickness and poverty, and brings us into God's blessing because of his grace. And so this is a year of God's grace and favor. I believe it's a year of harvest where God's going to bring many people to Jesus Christ, because God is going to show forth his grace and favor and his power in 2025 to bring many people to Jesus Christ. So if you've not accepted Christ as your Savior, God's grace and favor is there for you, but you have to receive it by faith. Say, "Jesus, forgive me of my sin. I accept you as my Savior. I choose to follow you all my life." And as you walk with Jesus, his grace and favor will grow in you. So Ephesians 2, 8 says, "For by grace you've been saved through faith, not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." But he goes on to say, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." So the same grace that saves us is the same grace that helps us do the works that God has for us. See, there's two parts of grace. Grace is favor you don't deserve, but grace is also enablement. In other words, Because of God's grace, God gives you the ability to do things by his power, not by your power. By God's grace, you're saved. You can't save yourself. But also by God's grace, he gives you his power to do his will and to do his work. And so it says, "For we are his workmanship." God created us in Christ Jesus. So when our life is in Christ, we enter Christ by faith through grace. But when our life is in Christ, we begin to do the will of God. As we begin to do the will of God, God gives us his favor, his enablement, gives his power to do what he wants to do. In fact, he says he's given us grace so we can do the works that God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So God has prepared good works for you that you cannot do yourself, but you can do by God's grace and God's power and God's enablement. So this is a year of God's grace. 2025, 5 is a symbol in Hebrew of grace and favor. So this is a year of God's grace and favor for people to come to Jesus Christ. But it's also a year of God's grace and favor for us as believers so we can do the work of God. So I believe God's going to do a great work this year, not because we're good, but because of his grace and favor. He's going to enable us, give us the power and ability to do his work in the world today, to bring people to Jesus Christ, to encourage people, speak good things to people, do the work of God. And so this is going to be a great year. I look forward with great expectation of what God's going to do. My greatest desire is to serve Jesus Christ. I want to do whatever he calls me to do. And maybe for you, it's praying for your neighbor, praying for different people, encouraging them, worshiping God, being part of a church, all that. What is God calling you to do in 2025? God wants to give you the grace to do what he wants you to do, not what you want to do. And God wants to give you the power and enablement to do what he wants to do in 2025. So as you go into the new year, you need to begin to pray and see God. God, what do you want me to do in 2025? As you begin to discover what God wants you to do, God will give you the grace and favor to do what he has called you to do. But as I continue to think about God's grace and favor and that the number 5 equals God's grace and favor is a symbol of God's grace and favor in the Hebrew language, I thought this is the year of 2025. So 25 is 5 times 5 is 25. So 25 is a multiple of 5. In math, you do 5 times 5 equals 25. So it's a double portion of God's grace. So 2025 is not just a year of God's grace and favor, but it's a year where God multiplies his grace and favor. In other words, God wants to do greater things than he did in 2024. His grace was available to us in 2024, but he's going to give greater grace or multiplied grace in 2025 because 5 times 5 is 25. So we live in a year of multiplied grace. That's an awesome thing that God wants to do because I believe we live in a time and age where God wants to pour out his Holy Spirit on his people. God wants to show forth his power and his grace. God wants to do a great work in 2025. And we need to begin to believe for that. And so, everything I do is based in Scripture. So you say, how can we talk about God's grace being multiplied? Well, the Apostle Peter talked about God's grace being multiplied in 2 Peter 1, verse 2 through 4. 2 Peter 1, verse 2 through 4. And Peter says here, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. So what did he say here? Grace and peace what? Be multiplied to you. So I believe God's grace is going to be multiplied to us in 2025. It's not just 2005, the year of God's grace and favor. It's the year 2025, the year of God's multiplied grace and favor. So Peter said, grace and peace be multiplied to you. How? Through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. So when you were born again, you received grace. You were born again and became a child of God by God's grace. You were saved by God's grace. Nothing you could do for yourself. But God has also given you grace to do His will and His work and to accomplish His purposes. So every one of us have received a measure of grace. When you accepted Jesus Christ, your Savior, you received God's grace and favor. Nothing you could do to receive it. But God wants to multiply His grace. God wants to increase His favor on your life. See, you received His favor free, but He wants to increase His favor in your life. He wants to multiply His favor in your life. And it says, Peter says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the way God's grace and favor increases in you is through knowing God and knowing Jesus Christ. See, a lot of people are born again Christians. They've been saved by God's grace, but they're still walking in sin. They still got lots of problems. They're not succeeding in life because they aren't growing in God's grace and favor. They've received God's grace and favor for free, but they aren't growing in it. It isn't multiplying and growing. They aren't using it because they haven't grown in their relationship with God. See, we're saved by grace in order that we can have a relationship with God. Sin separates us from God. So we're lost. We were going to hell. We had no hope. But Jesus died for our sin so that we could come into relationship with God. But the problem is, if you continue to walk in sin, you're saved, but you aren't walking in God's grace and favor because you're walking in sin. So how do you resolve this problem and grow in God's grace and favor? You grow through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. So if you want God, if you want the favor that God has given you to increase in your life, you grow in your relationship with Him. You grow to know Him better. You grow by understanding Him. You see, as you read the Bible, as you read the Word of God, you come to understand God better. You need to read the Gospels. Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Read those. Because the Gospels show how Jesus lived His life on earth. And He lived His life because He walked in the grace and favor of God. And because He was in the grace and favor of God and had a relationship with God, God did great miracles and signs and wonders through Jesus. And Jesus walked in love, peace, and joy. Jesus touched the lives of many people, thousands of people. God did miracles like multiplying bread and fish and doing all kinds of other things, healing the sick, because the grace and favor of God was on Jesus. And it was in power because of His relationship with the Father. He said, "The Father and I are one. I only say what the Father tells me to say. I only do what the Father tells me to do." And so Jesus grew. The Bible says Jesus grew in favor with God and man. Why? Because of His relationship with God. So it says here, Peter says, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord." So as you read the gospel and you begin to live life like Jesus did. You know, Jesus didn't fight and argue with people. Jesus didn't speak lies. Jesus didn't deceive. Jesus walked in honesty and integrity. He loved everybody. He even loved His enemies. Jesus says, "Love your enemies. Do good to those who persecute you and speak evil of you." That is how Jesus lived. Jesus even forgave the people that nailed Him to the cross, because forgiveness is part of a life in Christ. So when you walk in Jesus, you walk in love, you walk in joy, and you walk in peace. You walk in forgiveness because you easily forgive people because Jesus forgave you of your sin, so you can forgive other people. Even if they don't ask for forgiveness, you still forgive them. You release them, you let them go, because unforgiveness hinders your relationship with God. Jesus said, when you go and pray, first of all, forgive anybody they have anything against, then come back and pray, because unforgiveness hinders your prayers from being answered. And so, you know, as you grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. You learn how Jesus lived and walked when he was on earth. You live a life like Jesus Christ. Then you're going to grow in grace and favor with God and with people because you walk with Jesus. Now, favor, God wants to, his favor to grow in you as you walk in his will and his ways. And then read the book of Acts. The book of Acts talks about how they lived in the early church by the power of the Holy Spirit, how they overcame the powers of the enemy, how the church grew and expanded. See, God wants to do the same thing in 2025, the year of God's multiplied grace and favor. You know, in the Bible, it talks about an early rain and a latter rain. And the early rain, of course, is the rain you plant. So the early rains are small rains for planting. The latter rain is the big rain for harvest. And so in Acts, we see the early rain. We look at the book of Acts, and we see all the amazing miracles the apostles did, how when Peter stood up and preached, 3,000 people got saved. He healed a lame man who had never walked. It was as though that 5,000 people got saved. The Christian church, they lived in unity, lived together, ate together, fellowshiped together, and people were added to the church daily. We saw a powerful church in the book of Acts. That is the early rain. That is the planting of the church. It's the small rain. The outpouring of God's Spirit in Acts chapter 2 was the small rain. What's coming in the last days is the large rain. God's going to pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. God's going to pour out his Spirit and show forth his glory and power because God's going to want to bring in the end time harvest. And the latter rain comes before end time harvest. So I want to encourage you, don't be discouraged by what's going on in our world today. Yeah, there are lots of problems because the enemy is at war against God's people. The enemy wants to discourage us. The enemy wants us to give up. But no, 2025 is a year of God's multiplied grace and favor. God wants to do great things in 2025. God wants to bring many to Jesus Christ in 2025. God wants to pour out his Spirit in 2025. Prepare us for the end time harvest, the latter rain. I think we're coming close to the end of the age. We're coming close to the time where Jesus Christ is going to come back again. I'm not discouraged by what is happening in the world. No, God wants to give me greater power, greater favor, so I can overcome the things of the world. God wants to show forth his power in the earth, and God wants to show forth his power through you and me by his grace and favor, and to do the works that he did and to do even greater works than he did. That's what Jesus promised. He said, I must go away to the Father and send the Helper, the Holy Spirit. And when you receive him, you're going to do the works that I did, and even greater works will you do by the power of the Holy Spirit through many of us. You know, Jesus walked in the power of the Holy Spirit, but today there are millions of Christians all over the world who are saved, born again, and have the power of the Holy Spirit in them because they have the Holy Spirit living in them because they were born again by the Spirit of God. But the problem is because of sin, they're not walking in God's grace and favor. But God wants to pour out his grace and favor in 2025 for people who prepare to walk in his grace and favor. God wants to pour out his grace and favor upon you. Listen to the Voice of Hope today. Those of you who are listening on the radio and the Voice of Hope in Kenya, I pray God's abundant grace and favor on you in 2025. Those of you who are listening by internet at my voiceofhopetoday.org website, I pray God's grace and favor upon you because God wants to do great things in 2025 because the year of multiplied grace and favor that God wants to do those things in 2025. It's going to be the greatest year ever if we will believe God and we'll walk with God. So Peter says there, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given all things to us that pertain to life and godliness through knowledge of him who called us by his glory and virtue. So he said, His divine power he's given to all of us, all things pertain to life with God and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by his glory and by his virtue. God, Jesus called us, God calls by his glory. His glory is his divine nature. His glory is that he is loving and joyful and peaceful. His glory is that he is overcoming. God wants to show forth his glory in the earth in these last days, and he wants to show it forth through you and I as we walk in the knowledge of God. So the knowledge of God has been poured out upon us. His grace has been given to us. And he's called us by his glory and virtue by which we've been given exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of his divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So his grace and favor has been given to us so that we can show forth his glory and power in the earth, and that we can come into the great and precious promises he has for us and be partakers of his divine nature. His divine nature, the same nature that Jesus had when he walked on the earth, is the same nature that he wants to give us so that we can walk and do the things that he did. See, God, you know, when the darkness comes, God wants us to turn up the light. You don't turn the light off when darkness. Darkness never overcomes light. Light always overcomes darkness. If your room is dark in your house and you light a light, maybe it's a light bulb, maybe it's a lamp, maybe it's a candle, even a small thing like a candle, you light the candle, what happens? The dark runs away. The candle, small light of the candle, overcomes the darkness, because light always overcomes darkness. And Jesus said, we are the light of the world. We are the light because we have the light of Jesus Christ in us. We have the grace of Jesus Christ in us. We have the power and enablement of Christ in us. But you see, it's Christ in us that gives us that power. We have to live our life in Christ. See, and Jesus said, don't put your light under a basket so no one can hear it. See, people, when they light a light in their house, they don't cover the light. No, they put the light up high so it lights the whole room. See, and we are the light of the world. What kind of cover do we put on our light? The cover of disobedience, the cover of sin. See, when you walk in sin, it covers the light in you. When you ask forgiveness of your sin and repent of your sin, Jesus said, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all sin so we can walk in his righteousness, so we can walk in his great grace and favor, so we can be the light that he wants us to be in the world today. God is calling you and I to be light in the world. And you already have, if you're born again, the light is in you already, because the Holy Spirit is already in you. And Jesus is in you by the Holy Spirit. He is the light in you. But sometimes our light is covered by other things. Sometimes our light is covered by disobedience or greed or ambition or pride or unforgiveness or other things cover our light, other sins in our life. We need to do away with those things that cover sin. Do away with those things that hinder the work of God, hinder the grace and favor of God upon our lives, so we can walk in his power and show forth his divine nature. So he says, you have received grace and favor that you may be partakers of his divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. The world is growing more and more corrupt, and lust causes us to run after the things of the world. You know, people lust after money, people lust after position, people lust after power, people lust after nice things, and those things steal away the power of God. See, when you look to the world, you can't walk in God's power. God doesn't extend his grace and favor to people who run after the things of the world. You are saved by grace. Nothing you do to save yourself, but your grace enables you to do the work of God. His grace and power in you enable you to walk the Christian life in this world. He said it enables you to escape the corruption that is in the world through the lust. So God is wanting to extend his grace and favor in 2025. God wants to extend his grace and favor in you in 2025. No matter who you are, God wants to increase. 2025 is a year of multiplied grace and favor of God upon his people who choose to turn away from the world and to follow him and to walk in his ways. In Romans 12:2, Paul says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by renewing your mind that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God." You don't know what God's will is for you in 2025? He says, don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by renewing your mind. See, the way that you think is the way that you talk. See, if I talk to someone for a few minutes, I know how they think. If I talk to a person, all he complains about all his problems all the time, I know he doesn't have any faith. If he's grumbling and complaining all the time, then he doesn't have any joy and peace in him. See, the Israelites, when they're in the wilderness, they had wilderness mentality. They had a small mentality. They had small faith. And so when God wanted to bring them in the promised land, when they saw all the problems in the promised land, all the giants and everything, they said, we can't go in the promised land. See, God had given them grace and favor to go into the promised land. But because they had small thinking, they failed to enter the promised land. And even though they were God's people, they died in the wilderness. So don't be conformed, don't be molded by the world, don't think like the world, but be transformed by renewing your mind that you may know the good and perfect will of God for you. Hallelujah, glory to God. We live in the greatest time in the history of the church. We are going to see God's glory and power revealed in these last days. God is not coming back for a weak church. Jesus is coming back for a powerful church, and God wants to prepare his church for the return of Jesus Christ. So 2025 is a year of multiplied grace and favor for those who are willing to receive it by faith and willing to walk by faith in obedience to God and grow in the knowledge of God to allow his grace and favor to grow in them. Lord God, we just worship you today. We thank you, Jesus, that greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. That nothing, no work of the enemy, no weapon of the enemy can succeed against us because we walk in your power and your grace. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've given to us. Thank you that we're saved. We're your children. Lord, we just worship and praise you and thank you for the greatness of your power toward us. Lord, I pray for every person listening to the Voice of Hope today, Lord God. I release your grace and favor in their life, Lord God. Help them to know how to walk in your grace and favor. Help them to embrace the life you have for them, Lord God, to walk in the victory you have for them. And Lord, we just celebrate you today in Jesus' name. Amen. So I just want to encourage you. Invite your friends to listen to Voice of Hope every Sunday to receive an encouraging word. And if you miss my Voice of Hope program, you can always go to my website, voiceofhopetoday.org, and you can listen to my weekly radio broadcast. You can also listen to other small messages, 10-minute messages that I put on my website, voiceofhopetoday.org. May you have a good first week of the new year walking with the Lord and the victory he has for you. God bless you, and I look forward to talking with you again next Sunday on the Voice of Hope. God bless. Bye-bye.